not like the old days. And so it's fun to dress up. I have to left. Somebody just came to me in the back. You know, I'm going to get a little bite of food. Can I get you something? I said, no, I'm about to sing and do a talk, but thank you. That's very thoughtful of you. Oh, we should meditate, shouldn't we?
Yes.
Affirm the cooling energy within the heat of spirit. Take a breath. We're going in. In is a good place to be. Through this whole event, gently breathe in through your nose. Gently breathe out through your mouth. Become willing for a healing to take place. For me, the fastest and easy path to healing is to affirm the Christ in me is awake now. For that Christ awakening, that's my anointing. That's my remembering that health is a reality. Anything less is temporary. That healing is my remembering God, my remembering truth, my remembering life. The Christ in me is awake now. Those of you who care to, would you know that with me? The Christ in me is awake now. Forth and feel a wave of life flowing through you. Let it flow through your mind. Let it flow through your body. Let it flow through your very being. A wave of life. And it is reminding us of the truth of our being. See, in doing this, now we can know I choose life. And I choose life more than life. I choose life and the good. I choose life and the awareness of it. Breathing gently in, breathing gently through, breathing gently out. I choose life, and I choose it more abundantly. Accepts our invitation. I choose life, and I choose it more abundantly. Let's go on in. I choose life, and I choose it more abundantly. Life giving, life receiving, life in a full flow, life in a full connection. The memory of life is awakened in us now. So knowing that, let's begin our journey back here. Back here to this sanctuary, this place called Unity. Let's give thanks. Let's say amen. So, I wasn't sure who to ask to solo today. Believe me, I was the last person on my mind to ask. But it occurred to me that a Song of David's, and I thought a fitting talk title would be Trust the What? There's a voice that's softly whispering inside my head. It's telling me I'm gonna be all led where you are led. Don't hold back. And breathe the air. There's a place you're meant to be, and you're already there. Open up your heart and let life go. You know that you can always trust the wind. When the world starts doing things that I don't understand, and I search my soul to find a reason why, in the dark of night I feel somebody take my hand. You have eyes, or you can trust the wind. Breathe the air. Know that there are helping hands around you everywhere. You can always trust the wind. Dreams have wings. Thoughts take flight. All good things are streaming toward us every day. They know the way. They hear our prayers. They know the way. I'm gonna trust the wind. Breathe the air. Let it. What'd I do? My goodness, I didn't expect that at all. Thank you. Just see, sometimes you forget the lyrics or when they're coming. It doesn't matter. The whole thing is trust the wind, which means trust what you cannot see. Trust that Spirit is speaking through each and every one of us today, including me, for what we need to hear, for what we need to experience in order to know the greatest amount of Spirit, the greatest amount of love, the greatest amount of joy, the greatest amount of everything that we are promised in Spirit. And mistakes happen. We sometimes fall short of the ideal. I watched your faces, and I watched your smiles. And I thought that has to do with the lyrics that came through the nice David Friedman here. In case you don't remember his story, he wrote that when he was certain he would never write another song. He had been through a very painful process, and then all of a sudden one day he's walking down the street and he heard it. He heard it so much he had to go into a stationery store and buy paper and write it down. That's the short version of the story. Because one day he'll talk and tell you the story. It's my time. But that trust the wind. What was it? There was some minister, mentalist minister, and I think, was it about COVID? It was about COVID and getting the shots and things. And his argument, he didn't want to have the shot. He said, why would I believe in something I can't even see? And I thought, ministers are nuts. If you want to meet somebody, my friend Erica said this to me years ago. If you want to meet somebody with issues, meet a minister. But when I see the spiritual leaders forget the very thing they profess to believe in and are hoping to get their flock, as it were, to join in the belief. When I came to Unity and I heard these messages and I read Myrtle Fillmore's book, How to Let God Help You, it was the first book I ever read in Unity, and it made so much sense that I kept coming back and I started taking classes because I wanted to become a practitioner. They were offering it for credit towards becoming a licensed teacher. Now, I had never heard of such a thing, but I thought it was $15 back then to take a class for credit, to get 10 credits. And I thought, well, I've certainly wasted $15 on a lot of things in my life. Sign me up. We'll see what happens. And here we are. Here we are, you and I, at last. You'll hear that later. And so we... I didn't know what so much get wellness from sickness. And where does it come from? You can't see it. I cannot see wellness coming down the street at me. And yet, I have been known to experience what we call sickness, and I've gotten well. What happened? We'll call it the wind, or the invisibility of spirit. That it's possible, it's not even the spirit's, oh, I'm going to make this one well, I'm going to let this one sick. We just know that wellness is an experience that exists. And I'd like to believe it is stronger than sickness and perspiration. Wellness, I believe, is eternal. And sickness just masks it for a little bit. If we align ourselves with truth. And what is truth? I call truth the capital T, and it's that which has no opposite. And that's how I got on board with all this stuff. What's the stuff we teach about that has no opposite? And you've heard me talk about good, capital G-O-D, O-O-D, and same thing. But good, the good that I speak of in Unity, in my practice, I hope, is it's the good that has no opposite. There is no bad to go to the opposite of good. Many of you have heard me say many times, please eliminate the word bad from your vocabulary. All it will do is hem you in and try to convince you that good is an illusion. And we're not talking about the good that, oh, I feel so good today. It's got nothing to do with that. The good that I speak of has nothing to do with how I feel, and it has nothing to do with how I have behaved. It has to do with my I am-ness. I am good. Can't not be. And some people have a hard time with that, but if you're struggling, if you're in a dilemma, and you take the time to remember, I am good. Because you see, sometimes we call things, I don't know, bad. We'll find something, a piece of litter on the floor, and we'll think, oh, that's bad, that's terrible that there's litter on the floor. Oh, it's terrible, there's gum on the floor. Oh, it's terrible, I had that thought, it's so bad, I'm so bad. And if I see bad, the problem with my mind, and a lot of us don't realize this, is then I must be bad. Because how could I recognize bad if I weren't it? How do I recognize anything if I don't identify myself as it? How do I recognize sickness as a reality in my mind unless I must be it? Because otherwise I wouldn't know about it. Do we understand this? Does this make sense? Now, we all have had ailments and illnesses and things, but we don't have to become it. There was a Vanna last week, and we worked with opera students, of all things. Opera students, then they put on a big show with David's music and things, but we did two different workshops, and he did his thought exchange workshop, and I did a healing through mindful metaphysics workshop for about 25 opera students who are working towards They were doing two operas down there. Some of them were doing David's show. Others were doing other things. But I, with through this mindful metaphysics, I talked to them the same way that I would talk to all of us here. And in it, there were two things that stood out for these kids. And I know that because they came and told me. One of them was the word bad. They said, thank you. Thank you for telling me to get rid of that word. Because now, if I hit a note I didn't intend, I'm not bad. It wasn't a bad note. It just wasn't the note I planned. That's very different. Yay, thank you. We're having a healing. And the other one, which I'm going a little blank on, what was it? The kid loved so much. It's one of my standard teachings. Oh my gosh, well, it'll pop into my head in a second, and you'll say, of course, he says it all the time. So it's a very limiting thing. And I suggest, oh, I know, see. Bit of the term, I've got to figure this out. It's already figured out. Now stay open to accepting it and seeing it and recognizing it. Because it's my arrogance that thinks I have to figure anything out. In spirit, it's already figured out. And it may not, see, the solution may not look like you were hoping or like you had envisioned. Damned. That my vision can be limited. Anybody? As my vision is somewhat limitedly, why wouldn't it be mentally and emotionally and spiritually? I grew up in an atmosphere, we'll call it, where people know I had to just not discuss. That I don't know. Now, I've gone isolated with one because, you know, shit, you can really wrap up nicely and drag around with it. It was somehow bad because I hadn't already figured things out. It to the point where it could be, what's the weather today, Sean? I don't know. I should know. So I couldn't give an answer. And so I thought there's something, I thought I was somehow defective because I didn't know what the weather was. I might not know how to get somewhere. There were so many things I didn't know. And not only that, I didn't care. It seemed like somebody else did. Like I wouldn't be worthy in their eyes if I didn't know. I didn't trust. There was so much that I just didn't trust. And then I come to Unity and I find out there are certain aspects of spirituality that I can trust. One of the main ones was, I am good. I am good and I can't not be good. And I began to work with that all the time. And then I heard, as God is for me, nothing could be against me. And all things work together for good. And I've mentioned this before, but many years ago, I knocked over a glass of water. And I started to get upset because suddenly my mother entered the room. And then I said, oh God, I was hoping that would happen. And I laughed. I just laughed. It was a spilled glass of water. It was not a reflection of my I am-ness. And so I try to do that a lot now when things aren't going the way I wish they would. And it could be anything from the weather to an airplane being late to a world falling apart. Imagine, say, oh good, I was hoping that would happen. But you would have to trust the divine voice within you to see what gets revealed. When you make a statement like that, you watch the news and say, oh good, I was hoping they would say that. The revelation. cold symptoms. And thank you, God, they're not a reality for me to have to live with ever and ever. Thank you, God, that Eric taught me that a sneeze is a sign of getting, so I could release my mother's judgments. That a sneeze means, oh no, you're going to get sick. Or worse, you are sick. Thank you, God, that I have had teachers point out embarrassing things to me. And the reason they were embarrassing is because I thought I should already know what these things mean, what these things are. And it turns out I didn't. It's like, oh, you're in a group of people, and you say something that has absolutely nothing to do with the conversation, and people look at you like you are from another planet. And you, oh, thank you, God, I said that, and I don't wanted to fit in. And suddenly, I feel like a bigger outcast than ever. You know, these things that come up. And I've been with Unity people, and I've said some things that I thought would be very freeing. And sometimes you find out some of your Unity people don't want to be free. And other times you find out, oh, maybe it's me who doesn't want to be free, and I'm trying to bind us all into something. It seems like most any group you go to, if you bring a good piece of gossip with you, short conversations. It's, oh, some of us Unity people with the gossipy, most gossipy people I've ever met. And it's fun. However, does it help me to awaken? So I don't want to be bad that I enjoy some gossip, but at the same time, I do want to awaken. I do want to awaken to my full potential of wholeness and well-being. But I would have to trust that sometimes I have nothing to add to a conversation. I'm just the dullest person on earth because I have nothing to lend to this conversation of of me for me to be a product of love. And I don't have to approve of you in order to be a product of love. But you see, okay, here's an example that I know of. We have a few cats. And one of them, every morning, is meowing at us. Every morning. And sometimes later in the day. And what he wants is me to put cat food in. He's happy. He has been given love in his understanding of it. He needed that kind of attention. He's also a food addict. But he needs that affirmation that we're paying attention to his needs. And I love this about him because when he came to us, he was so neglected that he never would have asked for anything. He was afraid to get on the bed with us. He was afraid to play with the other cats. He was afraid, and he kept to himself. And now he's not afraid. He plays with everybody. He climbs up on top of us and digs into our chest. Yeah, because he wants to be connected. And I have a feeling if he could climb all the way inside, he would. I'll see him on the guest bed by himself, sound asleep during the day. Because he's that confident. And we did that for him. We gave him that. So I ask you to start easy. Find somebody you just don't care for. And decide to love them. And you don't have to necessarily do anything except pray differently. Except some of you may be up to a big job. I want a really tough one. But some of you, find somebody, a neighbor. trust that your day is going to be better because you decided to love, consciously love someone. There was never an absence of love. There was only the absence of the awareness of love. And this is the stuff we're doing now to shift our thinking. And maybe we will shift the world. Because it's really hard to resist genuine love, where I'm not looking to get anything by loving this person except to know love. I don't have to change them, and they don't have to change. But I'm going to love them so I can be fully aware of love itself. Because my days in this body, I don't know how many more I'm going to have. Anybody? None of us knows how much longer we will have in these bodies. And while we're in these bodies, we have some things to do. And love is a major one of them. And to love where we had the best way is to connect with that voice within you, this brain, inside my head, and it's telling me I'm going to be all right. And then the next part is, there's a place. My goal is to be here now. My goal is to be somewhere. Because here is the best place to be. And yesterday's past. Oh my goodness. Tomorrow, is there any such thing? It's like the sign, the free beer tomorrow. and yet, it never gets here. You will be saved tomorrow. Christ will be awakening you tomorrow. Here there's no absence of the Christ. There's no absence of love. There's no absence of joy. Is that for me? Aren't you lovely? Thank you so much. There's no absence of good because I am good. It has nothing to do with how I have behaved. It's not conditional. This good that I speak of is not conditional. And someone said, well, if I were good, this wouldn't be happening. And it's like, what if it's because you're good, this is happening? And now you're going to know what to do with it. It's been figured out. And you don't have to. I'm going to read something very briefly here. It comes from the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament. And it comes from the book of Acts, chapter 27. And it says, trust does not come from suspense and anxiety. You must be willing to give those to me, meaning spirit. Suspense and anxiety say you cannot trust. There is no peace to be found in them. I believe that. Here, okay. Years ago, when David and I had in Florida, and we had ordered this bookshelf that was broken, and we had to send it back. We also had to get to the airport. And another major thing on my agenda was to get to Waffle House before we went to the airport because I was very fond of the Waffle House at that point. We didn't have them where I grew up. So we didn't have any tape. And I said, well, we have to go. We'll just do it next time we come down. And David said, no, we need to pack this up because they're going to pick it up. And I said, well, we don't have any. We don't have time to go to the store. And he said, well, we'll ask the doorman. And I said, they're not going to have any. And he said, he decided to play my metaphysics game with me. And he said, is it possible that the doorman could have tape? And I said, no. I had an agenda. I did not trust that I could get did have tape. And we went down there and we taped it and the store never picked it up. Seriously, when you are tempted Then be willing to see that deep within your heart, at the very depth of your soul, you know you are not alone. You know that the fear of being alone, abandoned, and helpless is an illusion that cannot be true. So on these days that we have left to be in these bodies, consider what all gifts you are giving, what gifts you are receiving, and what gifts you are rejecting. And start saying, thank you, God, more. And Spirit, tell me what to think about this more. And put your own opinions and fears aside. Let's start giving less priority to our fears and our opinions and our being right. And start being more curious and genuinely interested in what Spirit, the divine voice, has to say to us about our thoughts, about our bodies, about our experiences, about everything, including our fears. Spirit, tell me the truth about this that I'm afraid of. Imagine that. So that the rest of our days can be the joy that we have been promised. I never thought that there could a love like yours and mine. I never dreamed that I would see the day that I would find a love that feels so right. But here we are tonight, and now the only thing we really need is time. We live on borrowed time. No one can be sure when the loan will finally come due. But I'm loving all of mine. I know what time is for. I borrowed it so I could spend it all right here with you. There was a time when I believed that God's hand, and knowing that has let me live and love you.